seated.
Well, I know that God has a way of turning sad occasions into glad occasions. And so let us have a wonderful time tonight, although I feel a little sad that we've come to the end of our week together. It's been a week of blessing, and well, I suppose you could start multiplying the adjectives that you'd use to describe it. And we were here, a few of us, when I say a few, that the campus people, that's the word, we used to say camp once a time in England, we have to say campus now because the Americans say so. I don't know why, but there it is. We got together, and as we listened to one and another, it was obvious that God had been working deeply and powerfully in many, many hearts, if not all of us that were together. And what a precious thing that is. Sadness, though, comes, especially as I listen to the testimony of our precious brother, in that through which God had brought him. It is sad that there may be some among us who haven't really entered in, and they want to, deeply want to. More and more, the heart gets stirred up, bless the Lord, in sundry manners, and in his constancy of love, God works upon hearts to draw them and draw them and draw them to the place where at last they want more than anything else in the world to have everything that God has for them. Are you there? It may be that there you sit and you know you're not in. You know that you're not there in these great things. Now, it's to you I am speaking. All the others may listen too, but it's to you I am speaking, longing to be in these great things. You don't know how. You don't know what's required of you. We were thinking about this the other night, I think. I don't know. I believe it was here. It might have been before I came, but that's how all days are alike in these tremendous realms. Let's see again, then, beloved, what God is really after. I'd like you to turn with me into Romans chapter 5. We're going to move about a bit in the scriptures. And in this chapter, we're told this. Verse 12. Missing out the first verse, the first word. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men. Now this then, beloved, is what God wants us to understand. Firstly, we must see quite clearly, as by one man, this is the way God lets the women off. You knew that, didn't you? Some of you women thought, oh, God's pretty hard against us, but he's let you all off. It was Eve who started it. But you see, he hadn't blamed Eve. It's the man. So some of you women think you're very hardly done by, especially when you read the Pauline epistles or something like that. You want to stop moaning and groaning. Man's had to bear the responsibility for sin. I think anything that God asks of you under those conditions ought to be accepted with gladness. What a reprieve for you. As by one man. You see, that word as shows you it. It was Eve, really, but God doesn't let her off almost. And I want you to notice something else, too, in case you, dear ladies, are inclined to groan and moan and want champions to write books on your behalf. I would like you to see, beloved, the privileges that you have here. Why does God say, as by one man? It's the first time it's been introduced in Scripture. Notice the marvel and glory and the exquisite beauty of God and the consistency of all that he does. When Jesus came into the world, he was born of a virgin. Man had nothing to do with it. See? And Mary bore the precious man. Hallelujah. Almost wish I was a woman now. What an honor. See? And then he went right through his life. And he laid at last in the tomb. And there came woman to the tomb. Looked in the tomb. The angel said, when they saw her weeping, woman, what are you weeping for? See? Angels couldn't understand why women should weep. God had redeemed women and he rectified their wrong. Woman's wrong in the beginning. You see? Woman, your seed has bruised the serpent's head. You. And even Jesus said to Mary, said, woman, what are you weeping for? Let all the men cry, the big cowards running away. But you've got nothing to weep about. Jesus had come in a marvelous way, and he had rectified the original error. Hallelujah. Understand that. And here then Paul comes up. The woman problem has been dealt with. She has. You believe it, all you men. So's the man problem too, you women. But I just comment on it. And Paul says, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And when sin came in, originally, in the garden, man, that is mankind this time, died. Something in man died. What a tragedy. And since that, this state of ignorance as to what God wants absolutely rules. You see. You can find it down through the story of the race, so that last God had to come down on Sinai and tell Moses what he wanted. He had to tell him what he wanted. They didn't know. So God gave them a law. And all sorts of other things he gave them, which I'm not going to spend time on now. You see? Because of their ignorance. He chose a race, gave them his law, utterly consistent with what he had done in the spirit and heart of man in the beginning, which they had virtually lost in the fall. He gave them the law. Then they knew what he wanted. Praise God. That carried the human race up to the time when Jesus came. And when Jesus came, God showed men again what he wanted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you see, men were now dead. They'd been dead through millenniums. Passed on their ignorance. This is the explanation of all the religions in the world. Men striving to find God, totally ignorant, didn't know how to do it, says he's like this, or he's like that, or he's like something else. You see. From which comes the terrible subject called comparative religions, with which most theological students are slain as soon as they go into their theological colleges. To say nothing of the watered down or slightly adapted or abridged attempts that teachers in teachers' colleges put over, and then teachers put over in schools to children. This is the way it goes. You see? Man is dead. The man at the front that's lecturing to you is dead. He doesn't know. His ignorance is unpardonable. He should know. There is no reason why he shouldn't know. If he's in a country that's civilized enough to have universities, he should know. Moreover, the book is here that he ignores, and better than that, the Holy Ghost has come. And God says that he's poured out on all flesh. Ready to deny that, are you? That's what's happening in these last days. The Bible's true. Don't theorize about it. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That's what God says. And he didn't give any conditions. He didn't conditionalize that statement. Conditionalizing is usually an adaptation to unbelief, or because the truth's far too vast for the human heart to grasp. So men start to produce their conditions. That's an unconditional statement. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Do you believe it? Well, yes or no? Yes. Here then, beloved, is the great foundation of the matter. But men are dead. That's why the Holy Ghost has to be poured out. Because men are dead. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so the life of Christ Jesus is poured out in the Spirit, so that men can come into the life, not just the benefits of it, not only the beginnings of it, but the fullness and the glory of it. This is why the Holy Ghost is poured forth on all flesh. But men are still dead, and they're dead largely through ignorance. It was said of the great Charles Grandison Finney, whose name you've heard me mention before during this conference, that the wonder about this man, he was an American, and he moved over those states like fire out there, and they said that the glory of this man was, this is what they all used to say about Finney, he used to explain what the preachers preached. That's what they said about Finney. If you listen to him, he explains what everybody else is trying to make you believe. That's right. And half of our trouble, beloved, is that we can't get clear understanding about things. So I propose, that's a long introduction, isn't it? but I'm going to stay as long as I want. If you have to go, good night, we'll carry on. I propose that we look into this and see what God wants of us. Do you know what it is? You see, if you're dead, you don't know. A dead person does not know. Then God raise up men and women among us that are going to be able to tell people what to do. You hear this about come to Jesus or receive this. And then you say, well, how? And somebody says, by faith. And that's as clear as though they'd never said it. Isn't that right? Because we're dead. And we don't understand faith. We don't know it. What is it that God is after? Death passed upon all. Well, beloved, first of all, I want you to turn with me into Peter's letter. Now, you will know that old Peter was a key man in God's great crusade on the earth. He was a key man. God gave him keys of the kingdom. And Peter's given us a key here in his first letter and the third chapter. Now, oh, I want all you women to look up now and smile nicely, will you? Come on, don't frown, smile. Because it's chiefly about you that this is written. Peter had a wife, Paul didn't. Here it says, talks about women. Verse 3, chapter 3. Don't let your adorning be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. But let it be, notice this, women, the hidden man of the heart. What's this hidden man of the heart? What's he talking about? Well, now, this hidden man, he's hidden from ourselves for a start. We don't quite know him. He's called by one or two other names, but chiefly in the scripture, he's called by a name that we'll find in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Wouldn't it be nice if all the Bible was on one sheet on a big desk and you could tramline right across it like that without turning over the pages? Wouldn't that be nice? Somebody think it up and produce it. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 we read this. Verse 23. Oh, it's a precious, precious wish for everybody. The very God of peace sanctify you holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you. Cheer up. Listen, he'll do it. He's going to do it. But what you need to know is that this hidden man in you is what's called spirit here. He's the dead thing inside you, spirit. That is what died when sin entered into the world. Spirit died. And so, we haven't got a clue. And when it says, now come to Jesus, or receive a new heart, or receive this, or receive that. Say, well, how? I haven't got a clue. What do you do? I've tried. Because we don't know that it's this inner spirit of us. He's too dead to know. And sometimes I wonder whether sin is the worse, or the death that came by sin is the worse. I don't know, I just have to ask the Lord. I don't usually consult theologians on these things. I don't know whether sin is the worst, or the death by sin that's the worst. What would you think? Here's the tragedy. Sin's terrible, but that we should be dead. Now, if we were only dead in the sense of being inactive, it wouldn't be too bad. But the tragedy is we're actively dead. And in the second chapter of Ephesians, we'll see this. It says in verse 1, you were dead, I'm missing out some verses, some words, in trespasses and sins. Now that was your death, you see. And the trouble about all this death is that you loved it. You loved your trespasses. You loved your sins, didn't you? Be honest now. You just loved it. You loved your rebellion. You loved it. You were taught, you were sort of establishing your own personality and your distinctive ego and so on. Oh, it's marvellous. The psychologists have talked our young people up into such places, beloved. Only the mercy of God can forgive them. It's they who've sown the rebellion in the race. More than anybody else. Young people have thought they've discovered this, that and the other, and their father's nothing but a dragon, and their mother is an old so-and-so. Yeah. That's the way they've come. Giving a man and a woman an excuse to act like a beast. It's not true, it's environmental, you know. And all this nonsense. We're in sin. We loved our sin. We were dead in it, most active in our death. Your death is not a state of inability, it's a state of total disregard of God. Action against God. This is what it's been. If you think I'm laying on a bit thick now, we're coming through to the position. We've got to see the position quickly, clearly. That's it. We're away there. Unreachable, except that Jesus Christ had come. The only hope of mankind. The only solution to the problem. The only one that could reach us. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Praise his wonderful and marvelous name that he came. We know the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. I don't want to labor there at the moment. But here then is our condition. The trouble is this, beloved. When it comes to acting on the devil's behalf, we all know how to do it. We all know. But when it comes to doing what God wants, we're dead. Don't know. Ignorant. We don't know how to respond. We know how to respond to the devil. We know how to respond to sin. We know how to get on with that. It's perfectly natural. You see, this is how it is. Can you imagine three things? God, man, the devil. Analytically, you can see them clearly, distinct. God, man, devil. But in actual fact, the one in the middle cannot exist on his own. He's either linked with the devil, He's born linked with the devil, or else he's linked with God. He cannot exist on his own. He's born linked with the devil. He can develop all powers along that line so easily. And the great thing is that he's so dead in his activity and his association with the devil that he's quite clueless about this great way of salvation. Now you're to understand this then, beloved, that you are essentially spirit. You have a hidden man there. A hidden man. He, this inward thing that people don't see, except in times, they only get glimpses of him when the thunder clouds gather on your brow, and when death stares out of your eyes against someone, and when hatred comes out of your voice, and when cold steel is in the tones of your words. And the poison of the devil, the asp, is under your lips. They begin to see it. They begin to see this inner man. When you voraciously, lustfully, go in your heats of desire after sin, in this man, in this woman, in this company, we begin to see it. This is the dead man so far as God is concerned. But oh, he's so alive. And that which God has forbidden and hates. You hear, you see him in the hardness of the face that can't respond to love. Can't do it. You find him in this thing that our dear brother mentioned, aloofness. He isolates himself. He hides away inside. He's everything. At times he's a serpent slithering along the ground. At times he's a dragon with fire coming out of his nostrils. That's him. You met him, haven't you? In yourself. As well as in others. That's the inner man. Praise God. We'll read about him. This is his other name. This time I'm reading in the 2 Corinthian letter. And in the 4th chapter, we're told this. It's a quote from the 16th verse. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, that's him, the inward man, the hidden man, the spirit man, the real man, you, absolutely you. Now, beloved, here is the man that has to act. This is what desolates and holds so many people back from going into the great things of God. Alas, alas, it seems that few can even be direct. They don't know what to do. They believe all sorts of things. Beloved, a man believes with his mind. A man will believe with his soul. His soul will believe what he can feel. If he feels joy, he knows what it is. If he feels misery, he knows what it is. If he feels so and so, so and so, he feels with his man, with his soul. That's how he feels. He's very much alive and active in that soul realm. When Adam fell in the garden, he did not merely fall from God to Satan. He fell from spirit to soul. That's what he fell into. He fell into his soul. And all he lives for is soul satisfaction. He wouldn't call it that. Unless he's educated enough, he won't know it's that. He calls it having a good time. Living for the pleasures of this world. Pleasing himself. Going his own way. Well, he likes this. He feels this. What they say turns him on. It's a shame it's got carried over into spiritual things, beloved. It really belongs to another realm. We haven't got the ability to distinguish between our right hand and our left. We wonder we leave a trail of desolation behind, ultimately, of inconclusive beginnings, attempts well made and buried in the dust, tears for joy. We don't understand. We borrow the phrases from the world that are evoked in the lips of drug-possessed people, demon-possessed people. We think we can adapt them to the gospel. You won't find them in that book. It's not because it's old-fashioned. It's because it's the basic truth. He likes to get turned on. He'll take drugs to turn him on. He'll take women to turn him on. She'll take men to turn him on. They'll take whiskey to turn them on. They'll take anything to turn them on. Turn them on to what? Deeper death. Utter frustration. Imprisonment in the charnel house of the devil. That's what they do. That's the soul realm. Praise God. The end of your faith, says Peter, is the salvation of your soul. That's the end of your faith. To get that soul utterly saved from all that. What a marvelous thing it is. Though that's not my purpose tonight, to dwell on that. And I trust that you see now which way God is moving and what he's after. God does not want mere church attendance. God does not want an acceptance of a creed. He does not want me to stand up and say, well, I'm a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a C of E or a PB. You keep going down low and you get from words to initials. And so it is. And you see, he don't want that. He's not concerned about that, beloved. That's not what he's concerned. What God wants, beloved, is you. And when he says you, he's not aiming primarily at your body. He's not aiming secondarily or even primarily at your soul. He's aiming at your spirit, and you haven't got a clue. Amen. You don't know. But you see, that inner man, that hidden man, that dead spirit that's been so active, now that's the thing that's got to act. If you will act with that inner man, if you will act with your spirit, if you will come right out here and do what God tells you in spirit, with your spirit, then you'll come alive. It'll happen. You see, this is what Jesus means, that the hour cometh, he said. You can read this in John chapter 5, not now. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now that's a tremendous thing. There is one who was born on the earth, who lived as a man, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, called the life-giving Spirit, named Jesus when he was in the earth, in the flesh. There is one whose voice can reach your dead spirit. Nobody else's can. My voice can reach your eardrums, and there it will fade away. Praise God, God has so made you that nobody can interfere in this realm. Only one can raise the dead. Hallelujah. One voice, and it reaches the human spirit. You can't go wrong then. I am the way, he says, not a way. You're not even left to have to select and choose which way you will go. Not when you're dead. Jesus speaks to you, and he calls, and he penetrates. He illustrated it by raising people from the dead. One man from the tomb, when he was on earth. To show and illustrate this thing that he was doing. He only wanted to illustrate it because he could have spent all his life going around all the churchyards, or sorry, it wasn't a church then, I beg your pardon, synagogue yards, and raising all the dead people, but he didn't. He illustrated it by moving into this realm, hoping that someday you would see, sending the Holy Ghost to indwell a man, that he should become the mouthpiece of God and speak the word and clear your vision so that you know. He poured out his Holy Ghost for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when God speaks to you, the last thing to do is to sit still saying, I believe it. That's not what he wants. It's no compliment to God for you to say, well, I believe God. The tremendous thing about it is that God is calling for this thing that knows how to get what it wants. This spirit of yours, this inner man. It knew how to go to that pub, or to that gambling den, or to that drug shop, or to that brothel. It knew how to get what it wanted, and went after it. It knew how to go to the dance hall, it knew how to go to the cinema to feed itself on what it wanted. It knew, all right. And it knows how to act. See it when it's angry. Ooh, like a lion. Listen to it when it's roused. The obscene tongue of the devils of hell. It knows. All right. The only thing is it doesn't know God. That's all. And it claims not to know how to act when it hears the gospel. Now, that's what has to come alive in you. It's that that's got to act. And you remember how in your days past, I hope they're past, and very much past, everything in you got roused to do your sin. Everything in you was raised in a kind of an almost resurrection. It lay dormant in you. You see, passive. And then there came the times when you got near to what you wanted. And if you weren't near enough, you went to get near enough to what you wanted. And then it all roused up in you. And all raised up in you. And some idiot of a man, and I don't know anybody particularly, told you as a matter of chemicals. Or something like that. This is the curse. It was the spirit of you roused up and went for what it wanted and did what you wanted. Now that's the thing that's got to act toward Jesus Christ. That. And until it does, in the same way that you went after your sin, until it rises up to Jesus and receives, you'll be as dead as mutton. That's the thing that's got to act. Do you see? Do you all understand what I'm talking about? That inner thing that God called spirit, that inner thing that's always been associated with wickedness, lust, hatred, envy, jealousy, fighting, wars, backbiting, whoremongering, adultery, that thing that's lived in that, that's the real you. That thing that wanted to live in intellectualism, that thing that wanted to isolate itself, brother, and stand aloof, bless your heart. Gave me a good word tonight. Standing aloof. Yeah. That thing. See? That thing that feels it suffered through somebody else's sin. That thing that likes to say it's not wanted because it wants to run off and find its own way. That thing that wants to hide up in a corner and blame everybody else because you feel rejected. That thing. You know yourself. You can't hide when God speaks to your heart. God lays everything bare and open. And everything, says this blessed Bible. Let's have a look at it. This time we're going into the Hebrews letter. And in the letter to the Hebrews, and chapter 4, it says this. Verse 12, the word of God is alive, quick, powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we're going to go right back to the Garden of Eden. Come on. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The one you're having to do with tonight, beloved. You stand naked and exposed and open to him. And he's dividing between spirit and soul. Amen. And he speaks, and he's wanting you to act. Just as you have acted in the past, to your shame, me too, you can pour this all back on me, to my shame in the past. See, but there came a time when, blessed be God, I sort of was brought to my senses. Nobody ever explained these things to me. I groped through the darkness to find this. Nobody ever told me. And I sat under the gospel, as they say, every Lord's Day evening. So, you know, I had it all. I knew it all. Nobody ever told me these things. They told me I was dead in trespasses and sins. I knew that. But nobody told me the part of me that had to act. Nobody. I didn't know how to receive the things they were talking about. I didn't know. But I want you to see, beloved, that this is the part of you that's got to act. Everything that became vivid and alive in you under temptation. That thing that roused up in anger. That's your spirit. That's you. Face yourself. You're horrible, aren't you? Yeah. That's why there had to be a Calvary. And God had to do horrible things to his own son. Because you were so horrible. Hallelujah. I'm not calling you names. I include myself there. Now then, beloved, you have to act. Act gloriously. And act tremendously. And when you do that, and not until, when you do that, you will be in the realm of faith. Not until then. When you act, you will be in the realm of faith. Until then, I want you to know this. You're just a believer. And I want you to know this. Hell will be full of believers. Hell will be full of believers. There won't be one unbeliever in hell. You ever thought of that? Yeah. But the trouble with them is that they will have believed too late. They will have lived their lives professing to be atheists or agnostics. But they'll all be believers because they'll have to see that glorious Lord and they'll have to kneel before him and they'll have to say, I believe. And the Lord will say, yes, hell. Be full of believers. Praise God. Do you know what heaven will be filled with? Yeah. The faithful. Mm-hmm. Amen. Men and women who have acted. Amen. Men and women who have responded to the Lord. Men and women who at the call of Christ, knowing now, which you all do, what he's after, have risen up. It's the beginning of your resurrection. Rousing up from inside. Lord, I want that. I'm coming, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. And taking it. Taking it. I see so many people, they'll sit or they'll kneel on the floor and they'll be dear and tears will stream down their face and they'll go like this, Lord, you can do this, you can take, you can do, everything's in the omnipotence and in the will and in the power of God. And what they don't see, that this mighty, glorious, omnipotent, sovereign Lord is requiring them to act. He's not coming along body snatching. That's right. Amen. Because if he was, he could delay it till after you died and then take you out of the tomb. He's not coming body snatching. He's wanting you to rouse yourself up and rise to him. And reach out into what the devil might be tempting you to think is not there when it is. and say, Lord, I take it. Amen. The proud says, listen to the proud spirit hidden away in there. He says, make a fool of myself. That's what the proud spirit says. The unbelieving spirit says, I don't believe it. It's not there. That's what it says. And the fearful spirit says, I can't! I can't! When you can. If you knew the amount of people I talk to, and that's nearly been their theme song. I can't! I can't! Yes, you can. The only thing is, you haven't known what to do it with, or wherewith to do it. What was required. That primitive, now, understand, that primitive, basic, you. That's what God's after. Everything about redemption is utterly primitive. It is not nice, no nicer than you. Inside, what you've been. He got right down to your basic primitive states at the cross, so that he's not requiring a man to act on educational lines. He's only wanting a man to act in his, I was going to say, his low animal spirit, that'll make him run after alcohol. Or chase drugs, or sex, or food, or the vanities of position and money, or something like that. Or become a marvelous art collector. Bits of old daubs on canvas. Can't even withstand a little puff of fire. The ephemeral things of this world that man has produced from his own soul. Some beautiful. But God is requiring you to act in that primitive state. He's requiring you to humble yourself and admit you've been a beast. That's it. That's what he's requiring you to do. He's requiring you to say that you're really worse than animals. It's all right, I'm talking to myself. I had to. Despite all the safeguards of society and religion, despite all the safeguards that some of you had, even of a Christian home, acted like a beast. I had a Christian home. I know I am talking from experience on that line. Don't you see what God's after? That thing, that inner man, that spirit has got to go on forever and ever. That's why he's after it. It's got to go on forever and ever and ever. Bless him. That's why he came for it. That's why he died to reach it. That's why he rose again. That's why the Holy Ghost has come. That's why the gospel is preached. That's why there's power from on high here in the room with us tonight. Amen. You can respond. You've got to act. Some people have educated themselves up into such a highfalutin state that their mind just about holds everything down. Throw it off. You threw off reason, didn't you, when you wanted to delight your own fancies with this or that or the other? You didn't let education stand in the way then, did you, when your spirit wanted to act? Don't say you don't know. Of course you know. Of course you know. Let you see certain words and your whole spirit will quicken to it. Let you see certain pictures and your whole nature will go for it. Isn't that right? Let you smell certain smells and you're gone for it. You know, of course you know. That's the thing, beloved, that's got to act, or you're damned. And now the crux of the matter is, do I want to act? Will I act? Will I be a real man for once in my life? Will I stop making excuses? Will I come up from hiding? Will I give up blaming other people? Will I give up loafing, lazing, wasting time, trying to give myself to this or give myself to that? Will I see? Now I know why God talked to us earlier. That time has been created by God for your benefit. And you've got to come and you've got to act. Do you want a pure heart in you? Do you? Listen now, God's discerning the thought and intention of your heart right now. Do you want it? You can have it. You know now what's got to act. And you'll get it. As sure as your name is what it is, and as sure as this is Roar a Conference, if you will transact with God, say in half the zeal wherewith you contracted and acted with the devil in the past, you can have it. He doesn't extinguish the smoking flax. He doesn't crush the bruised reed. He loves you. And that's why he sends his gospel to you. And that's why tonight it's reaching your heart. And that's why if you'll loose go of that person that's sitting by you, if you loose go of yourself, if you loose go of everything, and say, I'm going to act as though I'm dead to her or him and pay attention only to God and do what he says, you'll come through as clear as the noonday sun. You'll come through as pure as the breezes that blew in Eden. If you'll be real. Hallelujah. Amen. Any man can get rid of his habits if he'll be real and not hide behind his habit. Any man can get rid of his inner impurity and his wicked heart if he'll not say, hide behind his wicked heart. Any man, any woman, it doesn't matter what sin you're in or have been in, it doesn't matter what bondage has been wound round your heart, hear a man speak who has been delivered, who wouldn't want to tell you all the things from which he's been delivered by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You can be set free. Amen. Amen. That's the preciousness of our Jesus. Amen. And you, beloved, will come alive. Hallelujah. Amen. I promise you, if you tonight will act inwardly as you've acted outwardly, many a time you will be free. How many a time have I got a person in a room and we talk together and they said, I don't know, I don't know. I say, here, stand up, I'll show you. See? Like this. Put my arms around you. That's the way. Hallelujah. That's the way. That's the way to act. Act. Whatever you do, don't sit there passive. Act. He will be found a fool in the end who has spurned the wisdom of God. It is God that gives you His truth. Amen. I'm thrilled with it. Everything should rise up within you and say, Lord, I take that new pure heart in utter convincement of your reality and love to me. I take it, Lord. And let everything rise up and take it. Go on. Let it rise. You're quite capable, that inward man is capable of doing all the things that the outward man does. Amen. In fact, the deeds of your outward man originated in the inward. And the whole tremendous thing is that the Lord will gather you right up into Himself. For as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so also by one man righteousness came into the world, and life by righteousness. Amen. And righteousness overcame sin, and life overcame death at Calvary. And old Adam was eclipsed by new Adam on the cross. And what a marvelous thing it is. And I, by the grace of God, am an heir to everything of Jesus Christ. I think probably I ought to stop talking. I think it's time some of you started to act. Don't you? Woman, I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at anybody particularly. But God's looking at you, and there's love in His eyes. And man, Jesus is looking at you, and He loves you and true. Are you going to transact with God tonight? Has God shown you the end of your misery and the way you can get out of it? Has God made you see what He's after? With knowledge comes responsibility. But if you will act in a responsible manner, you will have all that God promises you. If you start to be irresponsible now, who will promise you tomorrow? Will he do it? Will she do it? Now let's just move. Here's an invitation to you, Phil. What do you say? You say, I need the Holy Ghost. Well, come on then, come and receive it. I need a new pure heart. Come on, come and kneel here.
Jesus.
I need complete absolution from sin within. Come and kneel here. I want God. Come and kneel here. And you can have him. Not that kneeling here will do it. But don't try hiding by becoming anonymous in the crowd. Let the Lord deal with you. That's right, brother.
Amen.
It's that inward man that's got to act.
Amen.
I don't know what you'll come for unless God will show me. You just come if you know that God's shown you.
Bless you, Lord.
It's that inward man now. Come on. Come alive.
Amen.
The voice that raises the dead is speaking to you.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory. Jesus.
You know what you're to do.
Bless you, Jesus.
I want to remind you that hell will be filled with believers. Don't you be one of them.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Heaven will be filled with the faithful. People who put their beliefs into action. All right, lovey? Yeah, Corman. Yeah.
Bless you, Jesus.
She wants to talk.
I came here to find This person that everybody was talking about, Jesus. By this morning, I hadn't found Jesus, but I'd seen a picture of Jesus. The faces, the work, the attitude of the people here. And when tonight came, I said, I've seen Jesus, but I don't know how to get to him. So I'll come along to the meeting and I'll enjoy the singing. But no doubt I'll go away without knowing how to find Jesus. And then you told me.
Yeah.
We've all gone.
Yeah.
Glory.
Give me strength tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. You say shout at Wembley, it won't be in it when we stand in.
Oh,
praise the Lord, we'll say. Amen. That's what we'll. Won't you?
Yes.
That's right. Let's stop this hole and corner business. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come right. What's the number?
794.
Bless him.
Today is dying in the west, and is touching earth with rest. Praise and worship while the night sets our evening lamps alight through all the stars.
fulfilled, whatever the Lord's done for you these days. Link up with a living fellowship.
Amen.
Link up wherever you are with a living fellowship.
Amen.
You must have what you've received fed. There is a delusion that you should take back what you've got, but be careful it's not killed.
Yes.
Feed. God doesn't want you to serve. People bring this over the top of young people who just go and say, oh, you ought to take it back. It's service they've got in mind, you see. You get built up. You get in a living fellowship. That's my responsibility to tell you whether men like it or whether they don't. You get where you're fed.
Mm. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You'll be able to spread some blessing sometime, someplace.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Let the Lord build you
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
Let the Lord love you in the bosom of His church.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Let grace overflow your heart.
Amen.
You've been out in the cold, dead long enough.
Amen.
Now get where it's warm and living.